Not here at 10:30, he's on the beach. You won't say anything? Oh. I did look at the sunshine this morning and thought, oh, yes, that could be quite a nice walk. But is it welcome to this early morning communion? I'm glad that you're here today. A special welcome if you're here for the first time. My name's Scott, I'm the minister of the church. And let's just pray and then come before God. And Father God, we thank you just for this morning. Joking apart, Lord, we thank you for the wonder of your creation. And Lord, we're going to look a bit at that later on this morning as we look at Psalm 121 and how fitting it is to look at that scripture today. Lord, we thank you that you are the God of all creation. You are the God that brings the flowers into bloom. You are the God that creates all things. So Lord, we thank you for that. And we pray this morning as we come together, as we sing, as we pray, as we come around this table, that you would indeed meet with us by your Spirit today, Father. But thank you, Father God, that we can come this morning. We can just simply come. We can come if we're weak. We can come if we're strong. We can just simply come as we are today, and you will meet with us by your presence. So, Father God, we come now. We pray that you would meet with us by your Spirit. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing a couple of songs together. The first one is Jesus, We Enthrone You. And then the second one is Lord, You Have My Heart. You can sit and sing them, that's absolutely fine. You can stand if you want, that's great. I'm standing. Father God, we do want to say, as we gather here this morning, we do want to say, Lord Jesus, would you come and would you take your rightful place among us? Would you build yourself up within us? Would you draw yourself closer to us? Would you meet with us this morning, Father God? Would you help us to be a worshiping people? Help us to be a people that look to God. Help us to be a people that seek your direction in our life. Help us to be a people that do say, Jesus, build your throne, build your presence, build your Spirit within me. And Father God, as we think about that, we also say, Lord, would you take our hearts, Lord, because we know our hearts are the things that often control us. Would you take our hearts and would you allow our hearts to be fully yours? Let's sing together, Lord, you have my heart. Thank you. Have a seat, please. What I want us to do now is I just want us just to have a time of prayer. And it's good to pray. And some of you might want to just do that by simply sitting where you are and just praying silently. Some of you may want to just lift up your voices in prayer, and we can all join by saying Amen together. And I don't know about you, but there's lots of things that we could pray about. But often God puts things on our hearts, doesn't he? But just a couple of things maybe just to draw to our attention. I think it would be really good to pray for our elections on the 7th of May. I won't be preaching from that pulpit about the election, but I will be saying to us as a church, we should be praying that God puts really important, the right people that he wants in leadership of our country. So that's on the 7th of May. I only know that because I've got a meeting that evening about mission. So, but 7th of May, so I want us to pray about the election. But also I want us to pray, it's still true that millions of people around our world today still live on a dollar a day. A dollar is about £2, and a dollar today is £1.60. And so many people around our world today still live on a dollar a day. And, you know, in the elections, they're talking a lot about healthcare, and there's a lot of people that still don't have healthcare today. And it just helps us to put our world into perspective. So maybe some of us may want to pray for the people around our world today that still live on a dollar a day or £1.60. It'd be really good to pray for Rayleigh, pray for our town. We gave out some Easter eggs last weekend, and we're the talk of the town at the moment. As I walked down the high street a couple of days ago to buy some sticky buns for the staff, I did have one myself. One of my members of staff said she just wants half, but then she ate the whole thing. We won't mention any names, but she's with us this morning. So you work it out for yourself. But I went down the high street this week, and there was an article in the Rayleigh Review about the church. There was an article in the South End Echo. And just loads of people talking to me in the high street, and also talking about the eggs. I had a couple of letters this week in the church saying thank you for your generosity of remembering me at Easter. So really good just to continue to pray for Rayleigh. That we still continue to have an impact. And then it'll be really good. Maybe some of you today know of situations for our church. It'll be really good to pray for our church, pray for people in Rayleigh Baptist Church, pray for us as we seek God's future, about where God is leading us as a church. It's exciting times ahead. And it'll be really good to pray for our church. So let's just have a time of prayer. And there's a couple of things, but God may place on your heart something else. If you just want to pray in the quietness of your own heart, that's a good thing to do. But if you do want to pray out loud, then that's also helpful because we can join you at the end by saying Amen. So let's just have a time or two just to lift God's world up to God in prayer. Father, we just want to give this time to you now, and we just want to simply say, Lord, would you hear our prayers as we speak them to you?
thank you, Father, that we don't have to strive to find your presence. We thank you that you are ever present with us. We thank you, Lord, that your love is poured out upon us day after day. Mm. And we thank you, Father, for the confidence that gives us to bring the things that concern us to you. And we do think of our country and these elections in May. And we pray, Father, we so desperately don't want to be governed by ungodly men. And so we pray, Father, that you will override, oversee what's happening. And help us, Father, to be good stewards of all that you give us. Help us, Father, to use the intellect you've given us to make sensible reactions and responses. Father, we pray that we will see your kingdom come in this area. Particularly, we thank you, Lord, for this response about the head. Thank you, Lord, that there are people chatting about it. We want them, Father, to talk about the head. We want them to find you. Thank you, Father, for all that's happening within our own fellowship. We thank you, Lord, for our pastor, his wife and family. And Father, we do pray that you will build them up and bless them. It's so easy for us, Lord, to sit back and just be observers and just be passengers. We don't want to be passengers, Lord. We want to be an integral part of this thing that you're doing. And so we pray, Father, that you'll teach us to be the people who will help one another. That, Father, we will be a blessing to one another and to the ministry team here. Father, we pray that you will help us to grow in grace and be more and more like Jesus. That would be our heart cry, Lord. Make us more like you, we pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
And Father, we lift your church to you today here in this place. Lord, we lift the next few services. We lift the 10:30 service where we're going to look again what it means to follow Jesus in Philippians. And I pray that we'll be encouraged by that today, that our responsibility is not to live in the way that the world calls us to live, but to live differently for Jesus. Lord, this evening as we come together for worship tonight and we look at this whole topic of money, which often for church is a difficult subject, and as we look at what it means to be a generous people in our giving of our finances to further the kingdom of God, and we just pray for that. And Lord, we pray for all the activities that will take place in and around this building, but also in our homes, in our small groups this week. We pray for Derek's funeral on Tuesday. We pray that that would just be a real wonderful opportunity just to give thanks for his life. And Lord, we pray for our youth work and our children's work. And I pray for the youth workers meeting this afternoon that will take place. And we pray for the children that will come into our building on Friday morning with those mums who still don't know you. We pray for the cafe that will take place and so many other things, Father God. We just simply pray this week that you would meet people by your presence of your spirit in all those activities, Father God. And I pray, Lord, that you'd give those in different responsibilities for those ministries wisdom this week as well as they lead those things. And Lord, I pray also for the people that serve this church. I pray, Father God, for our elders and for Les and for Jonathan. And I thank you for them today. And Lord, I thank you for our deacons as well who serve you faithfully. Father, week after week in different responsibilities. Thank you for those leaders of this church. And we pray, Lord, that you would abundantly bless them and encourage them. Lord, we pray for the staff that work in this church week after week to make the things happen that need to happen that many people don't even realize happen. And Lord, I pray for them as well. I pray, Lord, as they serve you faithfully, that you would meet with them also this week. So, Lord, we commit this church to you. We commit the world to you. We thank you, Father God, for the wonderful things you are doing as well in the world. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to be a thankful people, but also to be a people of prayer. Amen. Just want to read some scripture words to you. Psalm 121, which is quite good, really, because I didn't realize it's going to be so sunny today. but it says this, I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm, and he watches over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. I just want to just reflect, really, on that psalm just for a few moments. And I want to just show you a couple of photos, some photo snaps of mine. And until a couple of months ago, this is my view quite often. As I would drive from my house, I would drive towards the clinic in Wambodio, where my wife was a doctor. This would be one of my views. It's quite spectacular, really, isn't it? And this is just a little lake, and it's got some nice trout in there. And often you'd see little men trying to catch some trout for their families. I once went and tried and never caught a thing. So I paid the guy about £2, and then he caught me some really big trout. I took them home, and Angela said to me, "Oh, wow, how long did it take you to catch them?" I said, "Well, I must confess, somebody caught them for me." But just look at that. You've got the antiplano, which in Spanish is just a plain, and then you've got the mountains, and then behind the mountains you've got other mountains with snow peaks. And another picture, next one. This is a picture just outside Cusco, where there's a couple of mountains, and Andrea and I and the kids used to go and just walk up. We're actually at a zoo at the top, and by some Inca. The Incas built this water system where all the water came from the mountains, and they put them all into Inca channels, all stone channels. And then that water then used to do all the crops, and then as the river flowing down the mountains. And that was a Saturday morning walk quite often for us. And the next photo is, this is the city where we lived, and some of you I know have seen these before, but right in the middle you can just about see a square. And then in Cusco, it says on the mountain at the top there, Peru el vivo por siempre, which means Peru lives on forever. And but actually, as I used to sit in my office, to the north, to the south, and to the east, and to the west, I'm just surrounded by mountains. I can't say that's the same here. I opened my window yesterday. I opened it. I couldn't then shut it. It took me about half an hour to close it afterwards because it's been painted together. And I looked out, and all I saw was the base. It was slightly different. But I had a real privilege for a few years to live in the mountains for 7 years. And so when I read this scripture that we've just read, it has a real different understanding to me. I don't know if any of you have ever lived in a place where you have mountains to the front of you, to behind you, to the left of you, to the right of you. Cusco's in a valley. So I could be sat in the office, and I could just see the mountains. And at the end of the valley, I could see the rain. And I could be sat in the sunshine. And then suddenly the rain would just come. So my children could be in school and have a hailstorm. And I could be in about 5 minutes down the valley in the center of the city, and I'd have glorious sunshine. And it's just a beautiful place to live. And I must confess to you, I sometimes do miss the mountains. But I'll be back later on this year to go and look at them in September. But what does this scripture have to say to us? It will say many, many different things to us, but just to reflect for a few moments. It says, I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? And then it says, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And that whole concept, that whole picture that God gives us about looking up to the mountains. And I don't know about you, but certainly in those mountains in Cusco and in other mountains in the world, mountains are a beautiful thing. Just the height, the depth of them, how they're actually there. how they just sort of were plonked there. They weren't, were they? God created them to be where they were. And just the majesty and the majesticness of mountains, I think just speaks about who God is. He's all-powerful, but he's also beautiful. And it says there that if we lift our eyes to the mountains, where does my help come from? My help comes from the maker of heaven and earth. And that whole picture that, you know, whenever we face trials or difficulty, that God says, I want you to look to me. And so often we can just look around us, can't we? We can look around us to resolve our situations. Sometimes we can sort out our situations with money. Sometimes we can sort out our situations with family and friends. Sometimes we can sort out our situations with the Yellow Pages. Does that still exist, the Yellow Pages? It does. But actually, God says, just look to me. Just look to me. Lift your eyes up to me, because I am the maker of heaven and earth. And just that whole concept this morning, just to share with you, that actually God wants us to be a people that we look to Jesus, that we lift our eyes up to him. Because when we do lift our eyes up to Jesus, we see how majestic and how powerful and how awesome and how everlasting he always is. And I remember once I got given a birthday cake in Cusco, and the tradition there is they give you a birthday cake and they crack 7 eggs on your hair, and then they put loads of yellow sprinkles on your hair. And that was all good and well, and I was really grateful because this poor community couldn't afford a cake. But I never realised until that day how cold mountain stream water is, because I had to stand at the bottom of the mountain and the water came from the highest peak and I had to wash my hair in it, and I had a cold head for about 2.5 weeks afterwards. I felt my head was frozen just because the water was so cold. But the majesticness of mountains. But then it goes on to say, he will not let your foot slip. And this is just an understanding of who God is. He will not let your foot slip. He watches over you. You will not slumber. Indeed, he watches over Israel, who neither slumbers or sleeps. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. And that just speaks about how God says, you know, I want you to look to me in the first couple of verses, but also in verse 5 and 6, it speaks about how God is our helper. That we don't have to do it alone. I don't know about you, but I'm one of those people, I think I can do it all on my own. I don't know if you've noticed that. But I can't. I need you as a church, and you need me, hopefully. But also we need each other. But often we can just think we can just do it on our own. And God says that I watch over you. The Lord, it says, the Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. And what God is saying is he wants to be with us. He wants to protect us. He wants to look after us. He wants to take care of us. I don't know if you know that this morning. As I was preparing these notes, I had a real sense in my heart that some of you this morning just needed to simply know today that God loves you. And God loves you dearly. And actually God wants to be your helper in whatever situation you are going through at the moment. And we rejoice with John. I just saw a photo of Rosalie just a minute ago. She went out for her first walk yesterday and had a Costa coffee in the hospital. And we rejoice in that situation, because then we know that God has been your helper. And we know that God has been our helper in different times of our lives, haven't we? Often we can't see that at the time, but when we go back, we see that God is our helper. And then verse 7 says, the Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. So what does that talk about? That talks about how God is watching out for us. God is looking out for what's best for us. Often humanly, we often try and do it our own way, and then we realise it all goes a bit wrong, and then we think, oh, maybe I should go back and do it God's way. But that last part of that scripture is saying that actually the Lord watches your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. God knows when we should come, and God knows when we should go, and God knows where we should walk, and God knows when we should talk. God knows where we should live, and God knows when we should leave. And actually, do we really believe that? Well, I do. I do. I believe God has chosen me to be here for this time in my life, and because he's made that really clear to me. But, you know, that actually often we miss out on the blessings of God because we want to go where we want to go, and we want to do what we want to do, and we want to do it our way and not his way. And I wonder so often if we just miss out on the abundant blessings that God has for us. So just kind of reflecting again, just an overview of that psalm. So it talks about how God wants to be with us. He wants us to turn our attention to him. He wants us to look to him on a daily basis. And nothing's impossible for God, you know? Nothing, absolutely nothing. Nothing is impossible for thee, O great and mighty God. And then the song goes on and on to talk about the mighty and the power of God. That nothing's impossible for God. And so God wants us to look to him. God wants us to give him the situations that we face in life. He wants us to look up to the mountains. He wants us to place those things in the powerful hands of Jesus. But then it says in verse 5 and 6, he wants to be our helper. He wants us to guard the sun from us and the moon by night, i.e. he wants to protect us because he knows what's best for us. And I really appreciate, I've got some people in my life that do a lot of that. They protect me. And sometimes I don't like it, but I know it's the most important thing for me. But actually, God wants to protect us. And it ends there by saying that actually, God knows our coming and our going. So God knows the plans that he has for us. So let's just allow God to lead us in those things. Now, some of you might say today, well, Scott, I'm not of that age anymore to be used by God. And I want to say to you, that's utter nonsense. Because God uses us for his kingdom until the day he calls us to be in his presence. So let us be people that lift our eyes to God. Let us be people that know that our help comes from our Creator. Let us be people to know that he loves us and guides us and cares for us. And let us be people that walk in his ways. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. So Father God, now we pray as we come around this table. We thank you, Father God, that those scriptures that we've just read that talk about how we can look to Jesus, and Jesus is the one who cares for us beyond anybody else. Jesus is the one that knows us better than anybody else does. And Jesus invites us to have a relationship with him daily. And Father God, thank you that our help does come from Jesus. Thank you that you are indeed the maker of all the heavens and the earth, and you're the creator of all things. Thank you, Father, that you watch over us and care for us, and you know our coming and our going. And Father, thank you so much that you chose to send your Son, Jesus, to die on a cross, one of the most amazing sacrifices that you ever did for the whole of humankind. And Father God, thank you that you sent Jesus to die on a cross to demonstrate to us again of that love that we've spoken about this morning, that we've sung about. Lord, thank you for that amazing sacrifice. And Lord, last weekend we reflected on Easter, and we reflected on what you did for us, and Lord, we're thankful. So Lord, I pray now that as we come around this table, as we come and eat this bread and drink from this cup, that you again would meet with us today at this table in a real special and amazing way. Amen. So 1 Corinthians, the Bible talks in various places about the Lord's Supper, but the one that we tend to refer to, I've just realised I've got a bit of my Bible missing. It looks like somebody's had a nibble, doesn't it? Don't you think? I wonder who's had a little nibble at my Bible. Maybe it was me one day, I don't know. That's a bit of an odd thing, isn't it? That's the only bit that's gone. Never mind. Maybe somebody, I think I remember now. So it says in here, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it talks about how we are directed to come to this table. And I'm just going to read these words to you this morning. But I will say that this table in this church is open to all those people who love Jesus. You're invited to come, and you're invited to eat the bread as you receive it. And then I want to invite you to hold the cup until we've all got it together, and then we'll drink together as God's family. But if you love the Lord Jesus with all your heart, if you have a living relationship with Jesus, I want to invite you to partake in this meal. If you don't, there's no point, because if you don't know Jesus and love Jesus and have a relationship with Jesus, then this meal is rather pointless, really. So I want to encourage you to come and eat this together. But let's just think about the picture here. And Jesus, we looked at it just last week. Jesus was there with his disciples, and he spoke about this meal that would be one of the most important meals that New Testament Christians would ever eat, the people after Jesus had gone back to be with the Father. And he said to them, "If For I receive from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Whenever you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. A man ought to examine his heart before he eats this bread and drinks from this cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself." So it talks there about actually when we come and eat this meal that we should have a moment just to say sorry. I think that's really important. And so we're going to do that now. We're just going to have a moment of silence. And when we can allow God just to examine our hearts. Now, you know what your heart's like. I do too. Well, I know what mine's like. I don't know what yours is like. But God just wants us to come before we eat this meal, just to come. And maybe for some of us, we need to say sorry. Sorry for the attitude that I've had or the views I've had or the thoughts I've had. But cleanse my heart and restore me before I come to this table. So let's just have a moment of silence to do that. Father God, thank you. And as we come again to this table, you command us to come and examine our hearts. And Lord, you know the things that we've thought. You know the things we've said. You know the things that we've done that haven't glorified you. And we simply pray, Lord, that you would forgive us of those things and draw us closer to you again. Lord, help us to truly understand at times the things that we do. Help us to have a heart that is repentant and help us to move on, Father God, learning by the things you teach us each and every day. But Lord, thank you that you are a forgiving Father. And thank you, Father, that you sent Jesus to die on the cross to demonstrate to us many, many things. But one of those things was that you chose to forgive us and give us an eternal relationship with you, which we will always be eternally grateful for, Father. So, Lord, now as we come and eat these elements of the supper together, we pray, Lord, that you again this morning refresh us by your Spirit. Amen. Brenda, can I ask Brenda and Andy, can you come? So, if you can. So, we're going to just now. It says in the Bible that Jesus took the bread and after giving thanks, he broke it. And he said that this bread represents my body, which was given for you, sacrificed for you on the cross. And in the scripture it says that take this bread and eat it and be thankful. So as the bread goes round, as you served it, I want to encourage you to take it and to eat it, but also to be thankful for all that God has done for you today. Thank you. And afterwards, Jesus took the cup and he said these words, "This is the cup. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The new agreement, the new relationship with Jesus, because his blood left his body on the cross of Calvary to save us from our sins. So as we receive this cup, I want to encourage us to hold on to the cup, and then we'll drink it together as God's people in this place this morning. This cup represents the new relationship that Jesus has with us because of the cross. And it's a relationship that Jesus has with us here on earth, but also in glory, in eternity. So let us drink this cup together as God's people in this place, and let us be people this morning that are thankful for what Jesus has done for us. Amen. Let's drink together. So, Father God, thank you so much for feeding us with the body and the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father God, that you are a God who walks with us each and every day, who loves us, who talks to us, who leads us and cares for us. And, Father God, thank you for that sacrifice that took place on the cross. Lord, I am almost always amazed of what you chose to do for me. Lord, it amazes me each and every day that you chose to die for me and call me to be your son. And Lord, that's true for all of us here today. But Lord, in our amazement of what you've done for us, help us to be people that live out the Christian story in our lives, so others may see you. Amen. We're going to end by singing a song together, and then we'll be perfect on timing. So we're going to sing together. If you can stand, stand. If you need to sit, sit. We're going to sing, "I Stand Amazed in the Presence." Let's say the grace to one another. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. If I don't see you for the rest of the day, have a wonderful day. If you're going to have an ice cream, have one for me. Bless you.